Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 22nd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear two stories from out west. NPR produced them. They're about immigration, farm labor, mechanization, and to some extent, ethanol made from corn. Stay with us for this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat, $8.71, a 15.5 cent gain for the day. The March at 891.5, up 17. And July futures at 695, up 2.25. December corn futures 364.5, down 5.75. The March and nickel lower at $3.81. A bushel in the May at 391.75, down 5.25. December contract 4 cents lower at 411.25. November soybeans 976.5, down 6.75. January futures 7.5 cents lower at $9.93.75. And the March contract at $10.07.75. Down 8 for the day. November beans next year at 964.5, down 7. December bean meal at 275.70, down 60. December soybean oil at 40.22, down 34. Mercantile exchange numbers, October live cattle at $96 into nickel, up 75 cents, 75 cents higher. December live cattle at 97.57.5, up 27.5. October feeder cattle a nickel lower at 111.45, and November's at 111.62.5, 32.5 cents higher. December lean hog futures at $56.90 a hundredweight, down 2.5 cents for the day. Outside markets nearby November crude oil off $1.40, down 140 at 87.20. The CRB index at 336.29, down 382. The dollar at 78.057. That's up 0.718, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,524 is just about 2 points higher at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On a Monday, we're joined by Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at what happened in the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange Marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the wheat. Pretty weak for a while today, and then she came roaring back.
Yeah, wheat continues to be supported by the tight world supply-demand balance sheet, especially on old crop. We got fairly good demand. There's still some demand to be filled yet, and any type of break in here, you're probably going to see buyers come forward, gather a little inventory. But Russia remains the main topic. As you remember, Friday we were home looking at the export tax of anywhere from 10 to 30%. Well, over the weekend, that rumor has that they might raise it as much as 50% to really slow exports out of Russia to keep a good bit of wheat in their country to curb their inflationary fears on their wheat market in that particular country. So news continues to give the market some spurts from now to now. The main thing is, too, domestically, what we need to watch is the western wheat belt. Even though the south and east is getting some moisture, that wheat crop's coming along fairly well, we're starting to see too wet conditions out west where it's difficult to get the crop off and get new wheat in the ground and too much rain in some areas.
We probably ought to talk about, and I want to do this in just a different light. I sent you and the rest of the folks that we'll talk to in the Closing Market Report a note this morning about cash rents. Gary Schnitke, an ag economist here on campus, had written, had penned an article on the FarmDoc website, I think a couple of weeks ago now, that was pointing to potentially much higher cash rents, and that that the way the numbers worked out, they could be increased $62 on average in the state of Illinois over what they were last year, but that he wasn't really expecting that to happen. I heard some cash rents over the weekend. They're starting to be delivered to farmers at this point, and it sure looks like those numbers are coming through already that there's a $60, a $50, a $70 increase in cash rents for next year. It means on the overall, farmers will have to view the marketplace a little differently and try to really protect some of their income. Do you have any ideas about what they should go about doing?
Well, as far as protecting income, of course, naturally, when you look at higher investments, you got to protect the risk to the downside. As far as cash rents, we heard of one, a particular case by Clinton, Illinois, where 800 and some acres went well over $350 an acre. So you've got quite a bit of risk, not only from the price of grain going down, but also raising a crop. So if you're paying that type of cash rent, one probably needs to take a serious look at some type of crop insurance program, and above all, have some type of marketing program to lock in some of these higher price levels. There's that phenomenon out there from both sides to gather some acreage and produce. But when you got a landlord wanting to gather or get a high return on his investment, he's wanting the most he can get out of it, whereas the producer, the buyer, the payer, probably wants to pay less than he can to keep his bottom line relatively low. So it's a free market out there, and that's going to create a lot of anxiety between the farmer who's got to pay the cash rent and the landlord who wants a higher price. But the bottom line is, as land values go higher and you compare $5,000 ground to what one can return safely in a CD, naturally these landlord owners are going to want more for the return there, Todd.
I know you've talked about this in the past, but one of the things that you tend to like to have your producers do is to view their acreage not as or the bushels as acreage, not as bushels, so that they would be looking at income per acre when they start to do their numbers. Is that right?
Pretty much so, yeah. You got to keep it on a level playing field there. And, these cash rent contracts are going to get innovative as they go down the road here, where they try to be fair, but yet may be a little bit more flexible. You can even modify these cash rent programs where you pay a certain amount of cash rent, but yet, too, if a producer has a good year, you could reward also the landlord for some extra bushels, because the main thing is you got to have bushels to work with, and if you don't have the bushels, you can be in a world of hurt.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, it's going to be a dynamic market. Crude oil seasonally, about 80% of the time it tops here by mid-October. Oftentimes when you get a technical turn like this, the trend moves lower into about mid-December. So if you're one needing to lock in some fuel prices, we would be patient here and wait for additional corrections in mid-December before doing that, Todd.
Kurt, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
And at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Cad Keezer says tonight in the far northern part of Illinois, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers early. Dave Dickey is here now with the news.
In agricultural news, Europe may soon end a subsidy that encourages producers to plant crops devoted to biofuel feedstock. EU officials say European producers planted more than 6.9 million acres to energy crops in the current year, substantially more than the 2 million acres anticipated under the subsidy's budget. The subsidy amounts to $25.80 an acre. Speakers at this year's World Food Prize Symposium say seed biotechnology could play a major role in alleviating the globe's growing food versus biofuels controversy. Speakers predict that average corn yields could reach 300 bushels per acre in far less than 40 years, the amount of time it took to jump from 75 bushels to 150 bushels to the acre. A Monsanto spokesperson says the company is developing drought-tolerant corn that uses less water and will yield 10% more. Monsanto expects to sell the variety within a decade. More details are emerging on Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin's average crop revenue program. Benefits would differ depending on state, crop, and commodity price. The focus for producers opting into the program would be average state revenue for each commodity. It pays when the state revenue falls below a state guarantee. The plan is not perfect. Analysts say, for example, it would not have paid Kansas wheat growers this year because the increase in wheat prices overcompensated for the loss of crop yield statewide. A deal that would allow state-inspected meat to cross state lines is close to completion. The agreement establishes a new optional program for companies that use state inspectors. Those that opt for the new program would be required to operate under federal meat and poultry inspection laws, and there would be federal oversight at those facilities. State-inspected meat approved for interstate shipment would receive a federal stamp or inspection tag. Illinois Senator Barack Obama and Iowa Senator Tom Harkin have introduced legislation that would raise the renewable fuel standard to 18 billion gallons by 2016, including 3 billion gallons of cellulosic ethanol. Current energy legislation is stalled in a House-Senate conference committee, and at the moment, there is little hope for reconciliation. And House Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Peterson says the World Trade Organization is, in his words, dysfunctional. Peterson says the WTO makes decisions on trade violations based on outdated market conditions and subsidy outlays. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. Well, some U.S. farmers face such a labor shortage that they forego planting. They're the latest group affected by the debate over illegal immigration. Congress is not agreed on how to bring in more labor legally, and that leaves farmers in the Bush administration looking for answers. Jennifer Ludden reports.
Some 70% of farm workers are undocumented, and with ramped-up security at the southern border in recent years, farmers say they're facing potentially devastating labor shortages. More of them have been turning to a little-used guest worker program, the H-2A. But Sharon Hughes of the National Council of Agricultural Employers says the program's a nightmare.
There's 60 different steps you have to go through. You're dealing with three different government departments. All the workers now have to go through the individual interviews at the consulate offices, which is causing a real bottleneck. So they're not assured that the H-2A workers are going to be arriving on time anymore.
In fact, Hughes says some farmers were so worried about finding workers, they've chosen not to plant crops this season. The departments of Homeland Security, Labor, and State are working expeditiously, by all accounts, to streamline the guest worker program at the direction of President Bush. Scott Stanzel's a White House spokesman.
The U.S. agricultural community contributes nearly $100 billion to the U.S. economy, and accordingly, the farm sector must be able to readily access labor, domestic or foreign, in order to remain competitive.
Officials would offer no specifics on what changes they may make, except to say it's a comprehensive review, and they're considering all suggestions. Growers have put forth a long list. They want to ease what they call cumbersome and ineffective requirements for proving they can't find U.S. workers. They want to expand the type of jobs guest workers can do and let them stay longer. And they want to lower the mandated pay. They complain the formula to set it is unfair compared to other foreign labor programs. Farm worker advocates are not pleased.
Agribusiness, once again, is asking for government permission to bring in cheap foreign labor without government oversight.
Bruce Goldstein is with Farm Worker Justice.
The employers are complaining that they can't find U.S. workers, but this is a market economy. If a grower can't find workers, the grower should offer higher than the average wage.
For all the strife, both sides complain that the administration's review really only amounts to tinkering around the edges.
Nobody is operating under the illusion that what the administration is proposing can actually solve the problem.
Craig Regelbrugge co-chairs the Agriculture Coalition for Immigration Reform. He says, sure, officials could push through some changes to make the system work better, but they'll take years to have an effect.
There are things they may try to do, such as tinkering with the wage rate or labor protections, that will be politically radioactive. And even if they make an honest effort to do something, it'll likely be tied up in the courts for years, and so no relief.
Meanwhile, Regelbrugge says the problem of hundreds of thousands of illegal farm workers remains. Growers and farm worker groups have actually spent years hammering out a compromise that would legalize those workers and overhaul the guest worker program. It's a bill called Ag Jobs, and it could come up in Congress yet again any week now. But the administration's behind-the-scenes tinkering seems an implicit admission that, yet again, when it comes to legalizing immigrants, Congress will probably take a pass. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
We'll continue our look at immigration with NPR now. Farmers may change their crops due to shortage of immigrant labor. Of all crops, fresh fruits and vegetables are most labor-intensive. Lettuce, strawberries, and broccoli all have to be picked by hand. As you'll hear next, an Arizona farmer passed on chili peppers this year to plant corn, which is harvested by, of course, machine. Ted Robbins reports.
The smell from the hot chili peppers being processed in Ed Curry's metal-sided barn is so pungent, it can make you cry. Seems like an appropriate setting for Ed Curry to admit what other farmers won't.
All farmers are whiners. You just got to know that, Ted, and that's part of the deal.
The weather, the water, or in this case, the lack of workers. We hop into Curry's pickup and go out to the fields. Quiet fields.
We're standing in a field of cut corn that was raised for ethanol. Not too many years ago, there would have been green chili here.
After 37 years, Ed Curry is not planting green chili here, the kind used for chili rellenos, because corn can be harvested by machines. Green chili can't.
And it would take about 250 people to pick that. With immigration tightened up the way it is, well, number one, we just can't get the labor.
Curry did plant red chili, grown for hot sauce, paprika, and seed. A crew of about 50 people picked the peppers. About 7 years ago, Ed Curry was busted for using illegal labor. These workers are legal. They go back and forth from Mexico each day, making $7 to $8 an hour. Most are in their 50s and 60s. One man is 72 years old. Younger workers can't get visas or don't want the jobs. So as his workers age and his workforce dwindles, Ed Curry says he's thinking about moving some of his operation to Mexico.
We're down to survival. Am I going to stay in this or not? And if I'm going to stay in it, I've got to do it where I can do it, where there's plenty of labor, and we can be competitive.
That's one farmer's plight. The Western Growers Association, based in California, represents 3,000 farmers across the region. Its president, Tom Nassif, says farmers need Congress to pass legislation that will allow more workers in, something he says it should have done already.
The Congress is derelict in its duty when it doesn't provide answers to difficult problems for Americans and those involved in this economy.
Nassif says his association polled a dozen members and found more than 40,000 acres had moved to Mexico in the last year or so. But Phil Martin says a dozen farmers don't make a trend.
There has been far too much anecdote and not near enough analysis.
Martin is an expert in farm labor and immigration at UC Davis. He says there is no proof that overall U.S. fruit and vegetable production has been affected by a labor shortage. Wages have not gone up, as you'd expect. And over the last 6 years, Martin's production figures show
the vegetables are roughly the same. There's been really no change. in fresh fruits, there's actually been an increase.
That's right. Fruit and vegetable production have not dropped. Martin says while some farmers do face labor shortages, others are adapting. That is a machine harvesting red chili in Pierce, Arizona, Ed Curry's neighbor. It's a converted tomato picking machine, and it's far from perfected. It broke down while we were there. It picks up a lot of debris along with the vegetable, and it would destroy the more tender green chili. But it only takes two or three people to run. Phil Martin again.
In the long run, what makes American agriculture competitive internationally is that we have very high productivity. And that usually means substituting machines for people.
Chili farmer Ed Curry is all for that. He's testing a hybrid, a cross between an Anaheim chili, the standard big green chili, with a cayenne pepper.
And so that stem, for the most part, pops off.
So you're just pulling the stem off.
Yeah.
This could be the first machine-harvested green chili, but it'll be a long time before that happens. In the meantime, farmers say they still need more legal farm workers to pick their crops. Ted Robbins, NPR News.
WILL programs are made possible in part by Bevere Cafe and Bevere Cafe 2 on the U of I campus. Bevere Cafe 2 offers gourmet sandwiches, salads, and coffee with seating inside or outside in the lower courtyard of the Institute for Genomics Biology next to Morrow Plots, just off the quad on the U of I campus.
This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason on WILL AM 580. Time now for a look at the cash grain market. And Wyatt Muse of the Andersons joins us today from here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Things, I suspect, are getting quieter there at the elevator.
I think it's safe to say that 95% of our harvest is behind us for this year.
How much did you put on the ground?
4.2 million. That's the most we've ever had on the ground.
That pile behind or to the west of the elevator is just enormous. Is that the biggest one of the...
That is the larger one. The parking lot is full just to the north of the office building, and the back pile is as big as it's been in the past.
How big is it, do you know?
It's pushing the 3 million. The one out front is about 1.25, and in total we've got 4.2, so the back is just shy of 3.
That's just... And what's the plan to move that out?
We're going to start picking it up about the first week of November, so we'll call it 10 days to 2 weeks from now. We'll be picking it up and loading it out on November trains.
100-car trains, is that right?
For the most part, some are 75s going to the southeast. And the others are 100-car CNs to the Gulf.
How many bushels will a 100-car train haul?
360,000 is what we generally count on, give or take, you know, 10,000 or so, depending on the car sizes.
And how long do you think it'll take you to pick it all up?
Oh, I'm hoping that we have it all done by Christmas.
All right. And what are farmers talking about this week with you?
People are maybe hoping that we keep some of this rain before the ground freezes up. I'd say the majority of people are done with the harvest, so they're ready to get a little subsoil replenished, but not too much as people are trying to get their fall tillage done. And hopefully if it cools off a little bit, we'll start to see a lot of the anhydrous go on.
Hear any of the cash rent numbers starting to come in yet?
I haven't been really involving myself in the cash rent numbers. I know there's a lot of talk about it, but...
That's probably a good, safe thing, is my
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, we've got people that own all their ground. We've got people that 50-50 a lot, custom farm and cash rent. So we keep busy enough without involving that.
You know, what do you think the markets will be doing for the basis levels over the next week?
I'm very confident basis levels will continue to firm. Demand seems very strong. The end users are still looking. The exports have been great. We've got some rumors of a Russian tariff, so the Gulf bids have been up real nicely, and I think the end users want to keep the pipeline full, and the flat price end buyers like this break we've seen in the board, and I think basis levels will continue to firm.
On bids, what are yours?
Cash corn tonight is 349, and the cash beans are 961. July wheat is 655.
We appreciate you being with us.
All right, thank you.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon. 2 minutes, and we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Lawyers for a former Urbana teacher are doing court today to try to move his trial to another county. John White is charged with sexually molesting 9 girls over several months in his second-grade classroom at Thomas Paine Elementary School. He also faces similar charges connected to his previous post at a grade school in Normal. White's attorneys believe his case has gotten too much pretrial publicity in Champaign County. They're also arguing several petitions to limit evidence presented to jurors in a trial. A spokesman for the Illinois Department of Transportation says plans for a third major Chicago airport at Piatone are still in place. Mike Claffey was responding to a letter sent by Senator Dick Durbin criticizing state leaders for not choosing a preferred layout for an airport for federal aviation officials to consider. A Will County executive is also asking the state to speed up its efforts, while a spokesman for House Speaker Mike Madigan says it's up to Piatone area officials to reach a consensus on how to manage an airport before lawmakers can offer their help. The head of the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration says she's resigning to take a job with Schaumburg-based Motorola. Karen Tandy's resignation today ends her 4-year tenure as the first woman to head the DEA. A spokesman for the DEA says Tandy told employees she's leaving to take a job as a senior vice president of Motorola. Tandy will serve as Motorola's top spokesperson for public policy, focusing mostly on global telecom policy, trade, and regulation. Presidential hopeful Barack Obama is acknowledging the American dream is getting more expensive, and he has repeated a pledge to make the tax system more fair. In a campaign stop in New Hampshire today, Obama noted that a generation ago a salary could support a family. He says now it's often a stretch to get by on 2 salaries. His plan would cancel tax breaks from what he calls moneyed interests to provide $80 billion a year in relief for workers, seniors, and homeowners. Obama's plan would give 150 million workers a $500 payroll tax credit. Illinois is launching a new campaign called Tell a Friend as part of National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. First Lady Patty Blagojevich plans an appearance in Chicago today with healthcare officials and breast cancer survivors to discuss the importance of getting screened for the disease. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Time now to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. And Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago joined us. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Well, let's see. Today we got 63 degrees outside, I think, now. Starting to feel a lot like fall as opposed to recent times.
Although the current warmth that we've actually seen, you can almost trace it all the way back to the back half of August, has been nothing short of sensational here across the entire Midwest. And you look at Chicago, and the min back on September 15th reached 39 degrees. That's the coldest temperature we've registered in Chicago yet this fall. And given the forecast as we close out the month here of October in the next 10 days, looks like we may not even reach 39 again in Chicago. So this has just been an extraordinary period of ultra warmth here, and particularly across the eastern belt. You look in the western belt, they've had moisture concerns and wetness issues with heavy rainfall in the first half of October, and that's starting to digress and get drier pattern here in the last 10 days, which will be favorable for harvest weather, which is something that's certainly a good turn of events here.
They have been awfully wet. How wet have they really been? Oh, we've heard about combines that have been stuck and they've been not able to get into the field, and they've had some high winds, some real problems out in the western Corn Belt.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at the past week, going back a week ago Friday through last Friday, let's take that time frame, portions of Iowa received, a substantial part of Iowa received 4 to 6 inches of rain in just that week alone, and that was certainly the largest precipitation over a course of a week, but you could trace wetness back to September, and it's just been a very wet pattern as they started the harvest there in Iowa. And that the pattern's changing here. We're going to hit a dry patch starting later this week that will carry us into next week. And so, you know, that those conditions are digressing, and we're moving into warmer and drier shape for the harvest as we wrap it up.
So what kind of daytime highs might we have across the Midwest?
A little more seasonable here. In the upper Midwest, we will see highs moving back into the 50s later this week, and as you get into the central and southern portion of the belt, you're still looking at 60s and even some low 70s far south. And that is certainly cooler temperatures than we've seen, but we're going to be trending still above normal for this time of year, a good 5 to 10 degrees through now into the first couple days of November. And thus it will seem cooler, but it's actually still above normal versus your long-term averages.
And then close me out with maybe a quick tour of the hot spots you find around the growing season of the globe.
Sure. Let's talk Brazil for 1 second. In Brazil, there was dryness concerns earlier this month. We're starting to see rainfall finally develop across the corn and bean belt in Mato Grosso, Goiás, and Minas Gerais, so that's an area that we're seeing a contraction of the dryness, and that's certainly good. for the start of the growing season in the southern hemisphere. And other than that, the harvest is starting to wrap up in Australia, and the weather is going to turn wet in eastern Australia, which is not necessarily good for the wheat harvest after the dryness they've had over their summer. So not terrific news for rainfall in the harvest operations in eastern Australia.
Josh, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report. And remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and weather right there on the web. Just go to WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.